The Learn Me Something Podcast with your hosts, Aaron Stewart and Rich Plum.
Hey there, friends in podcast land. How are you guys doing today?
We assume you're all amazing because you're here to listen to us, and that you know, it's got to make your day a little bit brighter.
Everyone in podcast land is amazing and beautiful and wonderful people.
Anybody to listen to a podcast is obviously the creme de la creme of society. I mean, they're obviously the best type of people around because they're actually invested in making themselves better. I mean,
amen, sir. I'm with you. Yeah. So, hey, everyone, my name is Rich. I'm here as always with my good friend Aaron. Alex is sitting right over there behind the controls.
As always, hoping to service your learning needs to varying degrees of
exactly.
success.
So this is Learn Me Something, the episode 25.
Episode 25, everyone. Yeah, so we want to thank everyone for you know, hanging out this long. Episode 25.
I mean, can't believe it. Cannot believe it. We have over 150 subscribers. I never thought we would. I didn't think we'd get five. I never thought we would get five.
That, especially when we started, you know, and... And the topic of this episode, we're going to get right down to it, is nostalgia. Mm. And so we're going to talk about the nostalgia of, you know, where we came from. Because I felt that, you know, episode 25, it seemed a decent, you know.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're going to maybe, we may have another one at episode 100 or 1,000 and 1,000.
10,000.
And 10,000, yeah.
Oh, we'll be at 10,000.
You know, it felt appropriate to kind of, you know, just go back and yeah. talk about. So, you know, what exactly,
back,
so, you know, as we've you know, had this journey. Mm-hmm. Of learning that we started. What exactly been your kind of
my what?
favorite episode?
Favorite episode?
Yeah.
You know,
let's invoke a little nostalgia right off the start. And everybody can answer this. I hope that everybody will post this on our website what their favorite episode was, and we may go back and revisit some of the bits from that. That's you know, I hope that from this episode we might connect a little more with our listeners, and maybe, you know, from here on in try to work a little more of their input into.
Yeah, that'd be
where
great.
Where we go forward from here.
Getting a bit of
so
feedback.
We're looking forward to hearing back from you in terms of, you know, your version of the nostalgia of the show and what you'd like to see going forward.
So let me see. The best episode, I don't know, I like the Lynch Mob one, even though I'm a dark son of a bitch, but I kind of thought that was a nice, not a nice episode, but a good conversation I thought we had, a good informative conversation. You know?
It was definitely one of those things that you know, I didn't know that it had continued, you know, as late as it did. I mean, it was 1978 was the last one, wasn't it?
1981. Amazing.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah. I believe it was 81, yeah.
Yeah.
1981.
I knew it was after I had been born, right? And so within my lifetime, there was a public lynching of a
person, Yeah, that was crazy. I mean, a lot of them I really liked. I liked your Art of Breathing. I thought that was a really good episode.
That's actually one of our most downloaded episodes.
Is it really?
That is our most downloaded episode.
If not the most downloaded.
Yeah. See, and that's, I don't know if anybody, if everybody's aware, like we pick two subjects. So I pick a completely separate subject from Rich when we're going into this. So, you know, we each have kind of picked our own things that, you know, interested us so far as we've gone along here. And again, this is where I hope to you know, reach the broader audience and see what you guys are more interested in and possibly learning more about. But
yeah, get some feedback. I asked just the other day on Facebook a couple topic ideas. One person replied with, you know, what we should be doing next. Yeah, I'd love to hear more. What was your favorite episode, Aaron?
I kind of liked The Art of Breathing. That was a decent one. I liked Shamanism. That was another, like, I love that whole thing has been a real, fascination of mine.
Right.
For a long, long time, just the idea of you know, the other worlds and how they interact with us, and you know, despite the fact that there's no, you know, as we talked about on Ghosts, right? Despite the fact that there's no actual physical evidence of a ghost or any spirit or blah blah blah, you know, it's still kind of a, I don't know if a nostalgia going back to previous.
Yeah, that's nostalgia.
Not really.
I gotta be honest with you, Aaron. I hate nostalgia.
I'm not really much of a fan myself, right? Like I try to look forward versus. looking.
Well, I think nostalgia is the downfall of modern day.
Well, and you'll be interested to know that there was a time not very long ago, and for the longest time before that, where nostalgia was actually considered a disease.
Mm.
Yes. Mm. And so philosophers and doctors and psychologists back in the day would actually treat nostalgia. And there were some that actually considered that, you know, treating nostalgia with pain.
So what was the, so nostalgia, did it have to do with memory or did it have to do with looking fondly at the past? Because nostalgia is, as we know it today, is looking back at the past with fondness.
Yes, exactly. At past events, right? So Swiss physician Johannes Hofer coined the term in his 1688 medical dissertation from the Greek nostos or homecoming and algos or pain. So it's actually meaning the disease was similar to paranoia, except the sufferer was manic with longing, not perceived persecution, and similar to melancholy, except specific to an object or place.
So melancholy, or sorry, melancholy.
So specifically like the association of home of your homecoming and the emotional. Okay, wait, what?
I keep fucking up words. Melancholy.
Yeah, I believe the I look fondly on my days when I used to live in the melon colony.
Those were good days.
That was great.
We used to have melons all the time.
The melons were plentiful. And
Who doesn't like a good melon?
The best melons ever, I tell you.
We used to squeeze melons all day long, we would. Back in the colony of melons.
I do love me some melons.
Who doesn't love melons?
Exactly.
Watermelons? What other kind of melons are there?
Well, that's actually...
Watermelons
I just said that, and I had to say, I really don't like melons.
It's no?
Really, I don't mind them, but it's not really something that I, you know, not my favorite fruit.
See, I am nostalgic about watermelons because I used to always have watermelons and cherries when we went on picnics. And that's what the past does to you. It fucks you up.
Nostalgia. Well, and that's actually one of the things I want to talk about is what's called the reminiscence bump.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and they think that, you know, there's some evidence that that might be kind of what Mr. I can't even call him Mr.
Trump.
That asshole Trump.
45, again, you call him.
Wrote into office was the idea that if you ask most people what the best year of, like, their life has been, right? In general, that falls between the ages of 10 to 30.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As you get older, you're still basically going back to those days as the best times of your life, and you're holding those memories stronger than most of the memories that you form over the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the issue with, and that's what the issue that I have with nostalgia. And I hate people to say, "Oh, I would never do that in today's day. Back when I was younger, things were so much better. Things were so much greater."
Yeah, exactly.
But they're not. Your fucking perspective was different because you were a child then.
And you're not seeing it with the actual lens of what actually was going on around you. Mm. You actually do specifically cut out all of the negative aspects of that and see just the rosy parts of that. And that's exactly the problem with nostalgia as it was coined as a disease back in the day, was that you weren't seeing it with the lens of actual, you know, reality.
Yeah.
You know, now, and only seeing this perceived beatific version of it.
Yeah, a perverted version of it.
Yes.
Or not an imperverted version, but an unrealistic version of what used to happen. Mm-hmm. Now, I have younger kids. I got kids that are, I should know this off the top of my head.
I was going to say, think about it. You got this.
11 and 10. And I let them, you know, since they were 9 years old, they used to be able to walk up to the store. Because I remember when I was younger, I used to walk to school in kindergarten.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people will say, "How dare you? Why would you let your kids do that in today's world?"
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, today's world is no different than it was when I was a kid.
Exactly.
We just perceive it different because I was a kid back then and I had parents and the world, I was ignorant to the world or naive to the world. And everything was just beautiful. I mean, we always have this picture of the past and it makes me mental where, you know, you walk down the street and all of your neighbors are washing their cars and they'll wave to you and say hi and it never rained and it was sunny and you were riding your bike everywhere and your friends were waiting for you. But no, there were shit days back then.
Yeah.
There were problems back then. There was
Your neighbors were, you know, being...
yes, it's something. It was the same thing today as it was back then. The only difference that we have now is we have social media,
yeah,
where you have all these fucking helicopter moms and all these people that just seem to thrive off of drama and thrive off of, I don't know.
Well, and I mean, a lot of that is just, you know, our own natural wanting to, you know, be part of something, right? It's that's called FOMO, the fear of missing out.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's been the kind of and that's one of the articles I'm going to post here was has the smartphone destroyed us? Right. Because
I've destroyed a few smartphones.
There's a lot of evidence that since the inception of smartphones, like teenage depression and suicide rates have skyrocketed since the smartphone was introduced.
Is that right? Is that actual?
And since Facebook and social media took prevalence in kids' lives, there has been a real disconnect between, like, back in the day, like, and again, I'm going to be a little nostalgic here. Back in the day, I was outside, right? Like, that was my mom's catchphrase, was go outside and do something, right? Like, don't sit in here, you know, watching TV or doing, you know, like, go outside and play, go find your friends, go do something, right? And now we don't do that for our kids. We don't make them go outside and make friends. We don't make them, you know, put down their phone and go, right? And so they're getting a lot of their, you know, social cues from a phone, which is not how our brains are designed. Our brains don't pick, like, we're designed to look you in the eyes and see your facial expression. And 90% of how we perceive their conversation is based on your body language and how we're, right?
Yeah.
And we're not teaching our children those cues, which is setting them as a disservice when they go into the real world and have to actually, you know, read someone's facial expression in order to be able to, you know, socially adapt to a situation.
You're absolutely right. And in that regards, the world has definitely changed, especially when it comes to technology and even with dating. I mean, that whole Tinder, which, damn, I wish I had it when I was 20 years old, I'll tell you what. But I'm glad it wasn't, because it taught me how to be social. It taught me how to get laid. It taught me how to, you know, be
actually
nice to a girl.
Talk to girls. Yeah, and that's, I talk to girls nowadays, and boys don't know how to talk to them. They assume that they can walk in, you know, as the pizza delivery guy, and girls will just, oh my God, and drop their, and they have no, they've got no game whatsoever, right? Yeah. Let alone that, I mean, like, you talk to them, and the way they're talking to their friends nowadays, I'm just going like, oh, what?
You know, my kids, I mean, I'm very technologically savvy. My, my kids have their own computers. My kids have their own tablets.
Yeah.
I have two PlayStations in my house. My wife and I are gamers.
Mm-hmm.
We game. Mm-hmm. But my kids have friends. I mean, they have sleepovers. Yeah. They play sports.
Yeah.
They go, I mean, they don't go out because there's no kids in our area.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, they do go out, but they're not, we used to live in a townhouse complex and they used to go out all the time because they had, you know, 10, 15 kids in the area that they can play with. But now they don't.
Yeah.
But they're still, I mean, they're social kids, you know? And I think about that, and you're right. I mean, like, I'm in the employment industry, and I have a lot of kids that come in that just have no social skills whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Or, honestly, I mean, social skills to the point where they can't get a job, or they don't understand the importance of a job, or don't understand their importance in a team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they come on to a company, they don't understand what teamwork is or how to interact with people or how to pull your own weight.
Or have respect for your work or take pride in the job you do. Or, you know, if you're not going to do a job twice, do it right the first time so you don't have to.
So, I mean, I'm getting nostalgic about that now because I'm looking back at the past and thinking that, man, it was so much better than. But, I mean, it was. You still had dickheads back then too.
And see, that's the main thing, is just being able to put it into the actual perspective of reality versus just seeing the rosy version of it, right? And again, like, because these memories from when we're 10 to 30, like, our brains are literally wiring themselves during that time. And so that's where those memories are the ones that are the strongest that we hold, because they literally define who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we get older, you use those memories to go back to kind of, you know, inform your decision-making process as you get older.
Yeah.
Right? So even though you may have learned something that, you know, holds more weight or has more truth to it than what you learned back then, you're still going to hold on to that truth harder.
What's your core beliefs?
Exactly.
They form your core beliefs.
Exactly. Which is tougher to change.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I mean, not impossible to change, because they've, you know, you can teach old dogs new tricks.
Mm-hmm.
They've proven that you can regrow brain cells. right?
Yeah.
There is actual neurogenesis until you die.
But it's going to take a lot more effort and a lot more willingness.
Well,
on
it's
the
again
part.
like if we were teaching, you know, neuroplasticity and being able to critically think about things versus, you know, trying to cram stuff into our head, which I think is kind of where a lot of that kind of stems from, is this idea that you have to hold this stuff in your head and you have to hold it really strongly, right? Or else you'll lose it. Which is, you know, unfortunately kind of the absolute
Even
backwards.
When you're talking there, I remember like this common core subject comes up in schools all the time about how they're changing how stuff is learned. And I remember, I talked about it on a podcast before when it came up with the math problem and the new way to do the math problem. Yeah. And all these parents just flipping the fuck out because they can't understand it and it's so different. And they're sharing on Facebook and all the other parents that won't take 2 seconds to understand what they're actually looking at. And maybe it is a new way to learn it. Maybe it is a little bit easier than how you've been doing it before. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's something that you can, you know, it doesn't have to be the go-to every single time, but it's an easier way to do math. You know, but they won't even look at that because it's not what they were taught. You know, when I was a kid, everything was perfect and that's what we were taught then and that needs to be taught now and there's no progress that happens ever.
But I mean, even back in the day, like I was around when calculators were first making their way, into classrooms.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, there was a big pushback from parents being like, what do you mean you don't have to memorize? No, you need to memorize multiplication tables.
Yeah.
Right? Because that'll help you down the road, right? It was just this odd little, and I kept going like, how exactly is 6 times 7 going to save my life when I'm a...
It's not. And remember the teacher said, oh, you're not going to walk around with a calculator in your pocket every day. Well, now guess what, Mrs. Harper? We fucking are.
And that, like,
bitch.
And again, like I started with the beginning of kind of computers in general as well, right? Going back to, you know, my nostalgia, right? Mm-hmm. So you like back in the day when, you know, a computer was like an actual thing versus something you carried around in your pocket and threw down when you had a hissy fit, you know? Yeah. Like this was, I remember a while ago, a friend of mine had picked up a 386, old school computer, 386. Yeah. He had picked it up for $10 at a yard sale or whatever. And it had the sticker price of $6,000 on it from when it had originally been sold.
386, that is mentioned in Weird Al's song, All About the Pentiums.
All About the Pentiums,
it is. Is it the 386 or the 486? I think it's the 386.
Either way, right? But I mean, you know, the 286, you know, I had. Back
I
in
had
the day,
one, yeah, I remember.
I had the Intellivision, had the, you know, like,
I believe
we're
the
old
line
school
was,
gamers here.
You think your Commodore 64 is really neato? What kind of chip you got in there?
Yeah, there. A Dorito. Yeah.
No, I swear to God, I'm going to look this up. He mentions the 386 in that song.
Oh, I'm sure. Something about a modem or dial-up and how slow.
All About the Pentiums?
How slow
you're... Yeah, it is. I'm sure it's All About the Pentiums.
Let me ask you this, Rich. Are you nostalgic for old 1980s Weird Al? As opposed to his new stuff.
No, I like the 1980s.
But that's the thing about Weird Al is that he's timeless. He's still putting out decent, like the stuff that he's doing now is still just as good as what he was doing back in the day. We just listened to the Bohemian
now
Polka.
Now I am nostalgic. I'm thinking, I used to have the Weird Al song or the Weird Al album. I was surprised at the number of original songs he had on it and how many original songs he does on his song.
Well, he writes all of them.
Yeah, I know. But
what was the one that where he did the Michael Jackson Fat song?
Yeah. That was, I can't remember the name. Eat It.
Was it?
Eat It.
Yeah. He did Eat It, but he also did Because I'm Because
I think that whole album that he did came out right around the time that Michael Jackson Bad album came out.
Well,
the cover is a parody of that.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of his deal is he likes to grab it as soon as he can.
Yeah. And I got the one after that
one. The sooner the better.
When he did that show that you... Channel, or what was it? The
UHF.
UHF, that one. Yeah. I got that album. It was a great one, man.
Yeah.
I listened to that like crazy. Yeah. Fucking Weird Al, man. Let's do a whole one on Weird Al.
He's Canadian too, isn't he?
No, he's not.
Right. I like to, you know.
We can't claim him.
We keep trying to claim people, but not all of them. Not all of the best people are Canadian. Some of them are not Canadian.
Speaking of nostalgia.
They're just mostly Canadian.
UHF was a great show. That was a great TV. That was a great movie. Kramer in it.
Oh, yeah. You know? Jeez. Yeah, wow.
I've seen that
Michael
movie.
Richards,
it's good. I haven't seen that since it came out.
I have to go and visit that one. Yeah, I've seen it multiple times. I haven't seen it in many years.
We got it all.
It's been a long, long, long time.
You're so stupid.
Hey, maybe that's what we could do for the theme.
Yeah.
Throw out the UHF. If anybody noticed from the beginning of the episode.
Nostalgia. See, now I think of stuff like that, and I remember hanging out in my room with my friends.
Yep.
And we always used to have Doritos and the cheese. We used to call it cheese shit. Doritos and cheese shit. It was like the cheese, like dip.
Yeah, the dip.
You used to get
in
the can that ripped open.
Yeah, or like
and
the Mountain Dew. The Velveeta stuff, kind of. Yeah.
We used to play Doom.
Mountain Dew, yeah.
We used to play Doom on the Sega. We used to do the death matches. We used to get two Segas, mm-hmm. and we ordered the cords somewhere. I can't remember where. We used to hook them up together. We used to play death matches, like seriously, until
we
2 o'clock in the morning.
Like LAN parties back when that was a thing, you know, like where you had to actually drag your computer. And
times
it
was
just
so much better back then, wasn't it?
It's amazing, you know how.
You know, I always think like my twenties were great. Like, you know,
wait, I thought you hated nostalgia.
Yeah. I do hate nostalgia. I'm being
it's
ironic.
It's a love hate relationship.
I'm
right?
being
it's,
ironic because yeah. I think about my twenties and like, man, I used to get laid all the time. And so, like, no, I didn't. Yeah. When I was 20 years old, I was in my apartment by myself, thinking, okay, I'm not going to jerk off tonight. Tonight, I'm going to go one night without jerking off. I swear to God. Because the underside of my desk is getting a little messy, and if my mom comes over, it's gonna be a hard time to explain.
See, and I'm having better sex in my 40s than I've
me
than
too
I've had ever. It's amazing how you know, like you get a little experience. And
now, if I could know what I know now, go back to my 20s.
Nah, fuck that.
Oh, come on, man. If you know what you know now, going back to your 20s about how to talk to women.
Well, okay. If you have a magic thing where you get to keep all of the things that you learned.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And
know what you know now.
And become that young version of you. Of course, who wouldn't take
that? Hot tub time machine,
buddy.
Who wouldn't
take that? Well, that didn't actually like make them young again, did it?
Yeah, didn't you? They were young. No, they were young, yeah.
So they remembered everything. Okay, I must have. I thought it just sent them back in time, not to previous versions of themselves.
No, they were young and good looking.
And had all their memories.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it was a good movie, man.
I must have missed it.
Jennifer Pear was in that movie. They made a sequel to it, even.
I know.
It was a good.
But
cast.
They've also made 5 Sharknados. So yeah, you're really not convincing me of anything here. That's the other problem with nostalgia. Like you know, like you go back to old shows. I remember Ren and Stimpy. Anyone remember that
don't
one?
Don't even get me started on that.
Holy crap! I got like the DVD of the first season of it, and I popped it in and got about 5 minutes in and had to shut it off and went just, oh my god, what was wrong with my head?
Right? Okay. Like,
there was a day then when that was what?
Speaking of that, He-Man is on like
and all of those, you know.
Like, kids, come on.
And
that's
even my thing with old games. I can't go back and replay old games. I can't, right? Like I have that same problem with books. Once I've read a book, I can't reread it.
Books, I'm okay. I can't reread it just because I'm like, I know what happens. But
and that's exactly my problem. I get 5 pages in and it's like, nah, I know. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah, and you wish you could recapture the experience, you know? But the same, I mean, I'm with video games, like... What was that? What is that?
Oh, that was the He-Man noise.
Oh, it is, yeah. And
the
masters
of the universe. There's some nostalgia.
See, I brought my... I'm like, dude, guys, you gotta watch this. This is great. And my kids come in, they're like... 9 and 10 at a time.
What is this, Dad?
And we say, oh, what's wrong? And they're like, what the fuck are we watching? I'm like, no, wait, this was so much better. I swear to God, this was good.
This was back in the day.
We used to wake up early
but
on
see, and
the
that's
weekend.
Where, but that's where you do the comparative, right? Like, compared to what else was on.
Yeah, I know.
It was not too bad, right?
Exactly.
Like, you know.
Like Three's Company.
Back when, yeah, you know.
Three's Company, who had the highest ratings of any show ever. You're trying to watch that now. That is complete shit.
Yeah.
That's not making anywhere a dent on the ratings. But why? Because it was one of 3 things that were on that night.
Mm.
And everyone had to watch it. And everyone loved it.
Yep. It's the same thing where, like, you know, I mean, I get the Game of Thrones is amazing and all, but it's also because there's nothing else like it that, you know, it's had the kind of the popularity that
Game of Thrones is awesome.
Yes. Oh, that's why I started it off with Game of Thrones. But that's like, you go to nostalgia, like my like Dragon Slayer, I think was the first movie that I was, you know, that I go back to for, you know, the one that was just like, wow, that was interesting.
You know how, because when you're rereading something or replaying it, you want to get that original experience that you had, right?
Mm.
And it's hard to do. So a lot of people do.
Well, that's exactly the problem, right? Like that's the problem with the nostalgia. As soon as you actually hold it up to the actual light of reality, you go, oh, right? And then you see the tarnished edges around
it. Yeah, maybe, especially if you watch it too many times and you're like, But you also go and watch it with somebody else who hasn't seen it before.
Mm.
And you're like, I'm going to experience it through this person.
Yeah.
You know, and get that nostalgic feeling again. And then what happens is they don't like it.
They hate
and
you're
like,
it, yeah.
How are we even friends? Why am I even friends with you?
And then you have to do that soul search of, do I really want to hang around you if you don't like that? Like, that's one of my core, like, that's me.
You didn't like it?
Yeah. How dare you?
Same with Saving Private Ryan. I loved that movie, but I watched it too many times, whereas now I just see the formulated. I see how it's formulated. Like it's like side quests.
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole thing is side quests up until the very last. And it's the main quest.
Well,
and
especially if you play the Call of Duties and that kind of thing, I'm sure most of those are probably kind of the same thing. Save this person, take this out, go.
Yeah.
Right.
Speaking of nostalgia and Call of Duty, they have the Call of Duty World War II coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to buy that one. I've sworn off Call of Duties for the past 5 years.
See, I haven't played. And I used to play it
when
I loved like Halo and those. Like, I don't mind, like, I like first person shooters. I just don't really, I like role playing stuff, right? Well, like, I like being able to create a character and make them into something, right?
I played I think it was Call of Duty when they had the World
versus
War II.
Just not getting shot. That's basically the only, right? Like, that's basically the whole point of those games is to not get shot.
Yeah, you can get shot. It's fine. You can take a couple bullets. Just don't take too many bullets.
Yeah.
But the first Call of Duty game I think I played was the World War II, and I was like, this is fucking awesome. Like, you're storming the beaches of Normandy or Omaha.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, fuck, I'm right there,
well,
man.
Well, and I mean, in terms of, you know, but I mean, that's the problem is that I don't think people see it as the historical record that it actually is, right? Like, that was actual, like people that were actually there and actually got shot and actually died and actually had, you know, their arms blown off and had their, you know, like, this is actual shit that went down. And I don't know that, you know, the game's really...
Well, that's... Okay, going back to the nostalgia. So, yeah. I mean, I remember that game thinking, and I remember playing it going, man, this is what, it, you know, people were actually dying during this, you know, and kind of like you have that, okay, I got to respect this because this is like something that actually happened. I'm going to try to experience it. I'm like, man, these graphics are amazing, like, you know. This is great. And then you go back and look at what you actually played today versus you're like, holy crap, that was
seeing that.
That was
like,
good.
That
was
Steam,
good graphics,
right?
Back then.
And so, you know, you go back to some of those old games and you're just like, you know, and again, like putting it in the perspective of, you know, that was best they had at the time. And back in the day when this came out, that was, you know, groundbreaking graphics and such. But you look at them from the viewpoint of today and it's just like, what the hell? Right? Yeah. You thought that was a face thing. That's just, it's two pixels. And, you know.
Same with, the Grand Theft Auto games. Man,
when I first graduated, I got into computers and that was one of the first games that we sat and played over the LAN of the school network, right? Yeah. Was Grand Theft 2, I think, where it was the top down, you know, the pixel, which was great. Like, and then we had, you know, hours and hours of class time we devoted to that game instead of
what's funny is games are changing so much now where they were so much harder back then. Like, you know,
you have not played Dark Souls.
No, my wife won't let me play Dark Souls.
Yeah, no,
I have way too much of a temper.
You would see that, like, you want to talk about a heart like that, those are rough, man.
But not like that. I mean, remember,
but it's one of those things, like having played it, you really do get a real sense of accomplishment after having died 1,000 fucking times on the same fucking, right? Like, and when you actually beat that thing, oh, wow, you're actually like hooping and hollering because you've actually accomplished something versus these, you know, lead your hand through.
But what I'm talking about is, okay, remember playing video games and like all of a sudden you die and you're like, oh, fuck.
You had 3 lives to get through a game and that was it.
Or... you're like, fuck, I haven't saved in like 4 hours.
Yeah.
I got to play all 4 hours again.
Yeah.
Now it's autosave. You die. Yeah. You walk right into the boss battle again.
Yeah.
And we all, our old school gamers are like, man, you don't know what it was like. That was awesome. But fuck, we would never go back to that. I would never buy a game.
But fuck.
I would never buy a game where it didn't autosave. And if I died, I had to go back 3 hours. I'd be fucked. I don't want to play this anymore.
Well, I've that's my problem with a lot of games is that I do get frustrated with them. And
do you? Me
well,
too.
Because there's just so many of them, right? And so by the time I get invested in something, I'll play it for a little while and then, oh, what's that? Right? And it's just,
it's like the last time I turned on my Sega Genesis and I'm playing again, going back to the whole thing with how games were you know, when we were growing up and stuff like that in the 80s without autosave. Without any kind of save.
Yeah.
Having to, it's kind of mind-blowing having to play through an entire game with a limited number of lives without dying. And it's, I couldn't play it. I'm like, how did I do this as a kid?
And that's where, like, back in the day where you actually had to hold that whole map in your head. Right? And a lot of those,
exactly.
You know?
You had to know, and you had to know where things were. You had to time battles, like, boss battles properly. And, if anything, it made you a lot more persistent. And you had to try a lot harder.
Yeah. And like I said, with this, where it's the actual sense of accomplishment with it, you know, where you actually, you've done something instead of, you know.
That's true. But would you play a game like that today? I wouldn't. Like, if I was playing a game and then if you didn't save, you had to go back 3 hours. Like, seriously, I would give up. I would just be straight.
See, that's my thing is that I'm always moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Or I like to try to at least always try to move forward with me, you know, like, and so like the going back to stuff, the nostalgia, that kind of thing. It just seems like something that would hold you back versus allow it. Like, I mean, you know, it's one thing to have perspective and one thing to remember the past. So you're not making those same mistakes again.
Yeah.
Right. But that's the problem is that, you know, there were mistakes made there, you know, and you have to keep that as in mind when you're looking back to those things is that it wasn't just this rosy perspective, but there was actually, you know, stuff to be learned from that. And without learning those things, we wouldn't have been able to move forward to where we are.
Yeah. I'm the same way where you are with not wanting to go back, but I do it on weird things. I do it on like phases I go through on things I like, like example, tea. I used to be a tea drinker for years. And then I quit taking caffeine at all. So I went like 3 months with nothing but water. I'm going to go back to caffeine, but I'm like, I can't go back to tea. I got to do something different because I can't go back. It was like, if I went to tea again, I was going back into the regressing,
dark pit of,
or just
of
regressing my life to that stage. So I had to pick up. So I'm like, I'm going to start drinking coffee now. So I just switched over and I just drink coffee. I can't drink tea. Isn't it weird? I just can't go back because it just represents a time when it was in the past. And I don't want to go back to that time in the past. I had to have to go to a new time in the future. And if I give up coffee, I might go something else.
See, let's throw that out to the listeners, you know, like what's your most nostalgic, you know, like most rosy tinted memory of youth, you know?
What's the most rosy tinted memory? That's a good one, isn't it?
Is nostalgia a bad thing though? Mm.
Well, and again, it's the idea of letting that rule your thoughts, right? And basing everything on the idea that, and again, like as you get older, like if you're 40 and you're using a little nostalgia, that's one thing. When you're 80, right? The idea
is that
the world's moved forward from there. And so the things that you've held as your core beliefs when you were 30 are completely different when you're 100 or should be. You know,
see, to me it's harmless, but I guess for me, like, it doesn't really impact my life in any kind of like bad way. So for me to think of, well, you know, because I'm like I'm obsessed with the whole period of the 1980s, anything from the fashions to the pop culture of the time and the general sort of zeitgeist of that whole era, and I think about it all the time. And so I'm like obsessed with Stranger Things now because it harks back to, it's an homage to a lot of films, certain types of films, the way they were made even back in that time. And to me, that's harmless because I'm remembering about a time about my childhood, a period that I grew up in. But it's not governing my life. It's just creating happiness. That's all.
Right. That's the difference. Is when you're using those beliefs as your, you know, governing principles instead of being able to assimilate new information as it comes in, or if you're just basically blindly taking those principles as your, and that's all there is, and that's all there will ever be. You know, like that's not the world we live in.
Right. Like you're saying, especially, I guess. Maybe I should just use an example here. Somebody in a position of power making decisions, it might not be the best thing to look to the past as a perfect example and use that to inform how you make decisions. Mm-hmm. It's not always bad because sometimes we do things.
I mean, you think about it, like in what instance would looking to the past really be beneficial to the people of today? And that's like, if you look at, you know, environmental, if you look at, you know, like society in general, like we live in a completely different time. Like you said, 1981 was the last lynching. Mm. Right.
Yep.
You know, and it just seems like, you know, it's this idea that, you know, like the problem with nostalgia is it's kind of tied to this idea of rapid change and not being able to cope with change as it comes. And that's the whole problem is, you know, it's going back to this idea that it was better than what we have today, which is not true on most scales that you would, right?
For me, that's the big thing. When I say I hate nostalgia, I hate people that always say yesterday was better than today.
Right.
Because I just remember it different.
If we could go back to 100 years ago, back when people treated each other with respect.
Right. It's like you guys touched on this before and in other episodes too about Trump, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk going about back him a lot. To this sort of nationalistic
he does make himself,
sort of attitude and looking back to the 1950s, mm-hmm. 1960s, you know, the boom, the era of, you know, the cars, you know, Detroit, you know, Motor City, like that stuff. All the jobs that were in the country at the time for those types of jobs, like for mm-hmm. those, for that industry, like that's not coming back. They let it happen and there's no point, like that's gone.
Yeah.
And I agree with you in those types of scenarios.
Yeah.
There's no point even talking about it. We should talk about how do we move forward.
That's the thing is that's where it doesn't bring in the conversation of the racial segregation, right? Like the you know, the hate crimes, the civil rights,
all of that.
You know, you're looking back nostalgically on this one particular part, this one slice of things without looking at the fact that, you know, most people's lives back then were not better than they are today. And, you know, in general, you know, as humanity, we've been moving forward.
That's the myopic view of a privileged, wealthy white man.
That helps too. Yeah. If there's no way, there's another good saying where, like, if your job is based on continuing this propaganda, then, you know, anything to say against that, you have a vested interest in, you know,
and so that's
denouncing
what I mean.
I
think nostalgia in the sense of guys hanging out, drinking some beers, talking about stuff that you'd like to do back then and kind of riffing off each other and reminiscing, that's perfectly fine and healthy and
well, I think
great.
That's kind of, you know, what our brains are, you know, designed to kind of do is go back to those things, rehash those. And I think a lot of that, like you said, with bringing it out with your friends is kind of just bringing those ideas back out and going, hey, so is that still cool then? We're still okay with, okay, cool. Okay, we're still doing that? Okay, sweet. Excellent. Right?
But
I mean, you know, like the idea of, you know, we go to sexual harassment, right? Like back in the day, it was perfectly okay to grab a woman's ass.
Yeah.
Perfectly all right. Yeah. And that was considered the manly thing to do. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, that's what men did, was wandering around and... Well,
perfectly okay to the perpetrator, but probably not to the receiving.
But that was the problem, right? And but that, like, society, but even like the women back in the day, that was what they were taught was their place.
Yeah.
Their place was to stand around and be pretty. Yeah. Their place was to, you know, hanging out in the kitchen. That was, you know, and that was what we did.
Yeah, you know? I know. And
there's a lot of still nostalgia for those days.
Yeah.
For when women could just stay at home and be, you know, instead of having their own life, instead of being their own person, and, you know, instead of having respect for who they are as human beings, you know, you have this nostalgia for, you know, your wife just doing what you told her to do and shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I know. It's, you know, that whole sexual harassment thing, I can't, like... I mean, I'm 42. You're almost 42. Mm-hmm. And like for me, that never crosses my mind.
It's never.
Like, I don't know how. Like,
I admire asses. I never have an inclination to grab one.
I've never, ever just grabbed someone's ass.
Right?
I remember the closest I think I came to it.
I should. I do love grabbing ass, but I love grabbing specific ass that I have permission to.
I remember one time I was at Mons Venus for a bachelor party, which is a strip club, a very famous strip club down in Tampa, and it was super packed, and there were naked women walking around everywhere. It was like super packed, like the naked woman would come right past you, and your hands were here, and it was really easy. I was like 20 years old or 21 years old, but I like kept my hands to my side, making sure I didn't grab like a stripper.
Because that's how my mama raised me. My mama raised me to respect other people's privacy, right? Like,
I was having a conversation with my friend, and I said something about sexual harassment. I'm like, have you been like sexually harassed lately? And she was like, or at all. And she's like, yeah, just like a month ago.
And that's my problem is that you talk to any woman mm-hmm. and they have shit like on a daily basis.
But it just makes me like, she told me that a story that someone at a club just grabbed her whole ass and put her hand in the crack.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm gonna go to this club with you, and I'm just gonna stand there. You point him out to me. I'm gonna beat the shit out of this guy. Like, I thought this multiple times in my head. Like, how the fuck could somebody, a friend of mine, be that much of a goddamn asshole?
And again, like, I think we come down to the fact that you know, and unfortunately, like, I'm getting to the point now where I feel I've been complicit, right? Because I've watched this shit go down, and it was just, oh, guys being guys, and that's how we were raised. And now it's unfortunately come to the point in my life where I've just gone, no, like, we actually have to start, like, as men, mm-hmm. standing up and saying, no, not all of us do this shit. Not all of us are those guys. And we have to start standing up against the guys that are doing that stuff and going, ha, 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 well, that's what we do, isn't it?
I've never been in a group of guys where a guy has catcalled a girl that I can recall. Did I tell you my good daughter was catcalled?
Yeah.
Did we talk about it on a podcast?
I don't know if it was a podcast.
Yeah. My 9-year-old daughter at the time was catcalled by some 17-year-old guys. And I tell you what, that 17-year-old guy is very lucky that my wife took care of that situation, not me. Because I would be in jail.
But that's again, the problem with nostalgia, right? Like, you look back at the day without realizing that was the mentality that's still prevalent. And you know, and that's the, you know, you don't look at the actual negative part. So there's no moving forward from there. If you're only seeing the rosy aspects of things, you can't actually deal with the other stuff going on with it, right?
Yeah.
Until you actually recognize that, you know.
Yeah. You know, you got to look at the bigger pictures. I mean, I remember, like, you know, things weren't all great back then. I remember, but I'm a realist.
I think that's, you know,
shit days.
That may be our issue. Maybe that's our problem.
Remember, things weren't that good.
Well, and I mean, again, like, things were pretty good. And I'm sure, you know, if anybody that thinks that they want to go back to, you know, 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago or something, like, that's just, it's absolute, like, back when people lived to 15, if they were lucky, like, you know?
One thing that I really hate, that really gets my pet peeve going.
Gets your goat. Huh?
Yeah, I guess I hate that term.
Really?
You're like, gets my goat. I don't know. I don't understand that term.
That does sound like almost a nostalgic. Back when goats were a form of currency.
What was I going to say? So, yeah, I hate when, like, something happens where, like, a kid gets, like, abducted or something, and the radio shows and TV shows talk about it, and they start taking callers, and you get these people that are so proud of, oh, I don't let my kids go anywhere without me being right there. My 16-year-old daughter, she does not leave this house without me right by her side, and I keep my eye on her all the time because that's the way you got to be these days. And I just want to call up these motherfuckers and just strangle them and say, you know what? This happened back when you were a kid too.
Yep.
Okay? Yep. This doesn't happen nearly at the rate that it used to happen. I mean, crime is going down. Kidnappings are going down. Everything's going down in the right direction. And plus, there's a lot more people.
Let alone that now we know that anytime they get taken, it's usually someone you know.
Yeah.
It's not some random stranger taking them. Like, there's not, like, I'm sure it happens every once in a while, but by far and away, it is a domestic. Right, like it's you know,
and there's data to back that statement that you're making too.
Yeah, yeah, the things are not. Everyone said, "Oh, I would never do that in today's society." And I'm like, well, "Do you know what today's society is versus what it was back then? I mean, are you familiar with the stats and where everything is going?" Oh, I just remember it being. Well, that's your fucking problem because you were a kid and you remember it.
This brings up a good point, which I think too is important to remember too, that nostalgia doesn't always mean that the memory is even accurate. Like, you may have, like,
exactly.
To me, it's like the feeling may be fond of a time you think you remember accurately, but in your example that you're giving there may not actually be accurate.
Yeah.
And that can become a negative thing.
Yeah, for sure. And we know how fallible the memory can be too, right? So, and that's the other thing with nostalgia is it, when you forget the questions, where have we come from and where we are going are linked together. Right? Like, so where you are, what you have been is tied to where you are going and who you are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's where we seem to have that problem. Like you look back to where you came from, but, you know, you have to, you know, again, put that into the perspective of where you're going and are those values that you held back then the same as who you are now and who you're going to be and who you want to be in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's the problem with that, you know, the whole idea of, and that, again, why it was originally classified as a disease was because, you know, that, you know, if you're holding that as your prevailing, you know, back in the day, mm-hmm. right? Again, there's no moving forward with the rest of society. And so then you're just holding us back.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we used to think that black and white people couldn't marry. And then we thought that, you know, women couldn't vote. And we, you know, two men
couldn't
get married.
A day when they thought that black people had different things inside of them. Right? Like seriously, like different organs. Yeah. I'm sure that, you know.
I guarantee you there's people today that think that.
Yeah. You know, that you know, fundamentally there's differences in our bodies other than our skin color. And, yeah. How are you not keeping up with this shit?
So speaking of nostalgia, I mean, if we look at now at all the people that were opposed to desegregation and opposed to civil rights for black people, and we don't look upon them fondly now. And we have all these people that are taking the same position with same-sex marriage, lots of other issues. I mean, do these people not realize that their grandkids are going to be embarrassed by them?
Yeah.
You know, I have people on Facebook just spouting off all this shit about same-sex marriage. And they're very devout Christians, usually. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking to myself, don't you realize that history is not going to judge you the way you think it's going to be judge you. I mean, that your kids or grandkids are going to be, oh yeah, my aunt or my grandma or grandpa, he was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be the embarrassment of the family.
It's easy to say that, but they think they're right.
I know. That's
the
problem,
right? They truly believe that.
I know.
And they can do no wrong. And anyone in the future who would look down on them, they'd be like, well, I know I'm right. Yeah. I know my beliefs.
Yeah.
That's their system.
Yeah.
And that's the problem is that, you know, you're not actually taking that critical view of does that help us? Right? Mm-hmm. Like, would it be absolutely necessary for you to believe in this, you know, creature in the sky that, you know, made everything? And I mean, I get that, you know, part of where, you know, like there, I actually was just reading an article about how they're thinking now that aliens might actually not be, you know, like a separate entity, but, you know, there's actually a theory that they might be so advanced that they might actually make up reality as we know it. And then we might be part of some larger entity that's
all right.
that actually is, you know, and that, you know, if you consider, you know, God as something that, you know, does things that we can't understand,
mm-hmm.
well, you know, there's a lot of things that we don't really, and that's kind of the problem is that, you know, it's one of those unprovable things. So you can't unprove it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Prove to me that Bigfoot doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Yeah. But we can prove to you that nostalgia is not helping you.
Nostalgia's helping you. Maybe when you're sad and you're, you know, oh, remember the times or yeah, having a good time at a party and you
but again, hit it like off with somebody. If you were sad, why not think of the future? Right? Why not think, well, tomorrow will be better?
Yeah. Some people have a hard time doing that.
Oh, the past was so great.
Yeah, some people have a really hard time doing that, though.
And again, I feel that's, you know, a lot of where we have these talks, I hold it up to society to help us to move forward, right? And that, again, by hopefully having these conversations, we can hopefully open up a door to conversation and hopefully moving forward on some of these subjects, right? So we might actually be able to look at the rosy past and, you know, see the reality behind it and the parts that, you know, weren't so rosy and might need to actually be fixed.
Well, I wonder if the amount of cell phones and pictures that we take now and videos that we take now, I bet you nostalgia may not be quite the issue in the future.
Where does nostalgia fall with people that are nostalgic for a era that they were not born in, that they didn't experience, because mm-hmm. that's a real thing.
Oh yeah. And that's again like where kind of the religious thing comes in, right? Where like a lot of this is a nostalgia for days 2000 years ago that they really have no inclination, like, you know, the Bible paints this, you know, Noah lived to 7,000 years old or something, or Moses or whatever.
Hung in there. Yeah.
What, right? Like there
700 years
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, right?
Like, that,
like, and there's a lot of that, like, even in the Iliad, the very first, like, recorded kind of book, there was a sentence in there about how, like, it would take 10 of today's people to be able to lift the boulder that Hector lifted with ease, right? So the idea that, you know, back in the day, people were so much bigger and stronger than we are, and that we've been moving, you know, down from, you know, the you know, gods that we were, you know, And that was actually the very first recorded book talks of, you know, these past people who were, you know, so much better than we were.
Isn't that
and
right?
If we could just return to the values of, you know, the days of yore, right? And so it seems to be almost something that's, you know, part of our psychological makeup is that, you know, holding those memories in our head and pulling them out every once in a while. And again, you know, the idea being that we're supposed to look at those with the critical view of where we are now, of perspective, to say, is that something that we still want to carry with us? Or was that something we can discard by the wayside and move forward with our life and go, thank God, I don't believe that anymore. Right? Yeah.
I think that a lot of people that have our liberal views would agree with us, but I think a lot of people that have conservative views that look at the past as a model of how we should go or how we should operate.
That's the rosy view, you know, like, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you, this rosy view, but they see it as like the, like you said, the wife's at home cooking dinner, the husband comes home, puts his hat on the hat rack, grabs the newspaper, the kids come up, give him a hug, and they're playing their game, smiley face, while he's reading his paper and the wife's cooking dinner. I mean, that's...
And I mean, as
everyone's
long
like,
as
why
it's possible,
can't we get back there?
As long as it's possible to interchange those roles where the dad can stay home and do, right? Like, and that's okay, you know?
That's
totally cool, right? But it's a matter of like, if that's specifically, and it's a matter of I have control over you and you have to do what I say. No. That's not, right? And that's, you know, that's kind of where the religion thing comes in, right? Like, it's God telling you what to do. Because we're not smart enough to figure it out for ourselves. Sorry, you were saying?
I think that as long as we're open to the idea that some things in the past were good and some things that were not so good, and as long as we were open to really picking that stuff apart and choosing the stuff that maybe that's something we did something a certain way that we should be doing now, but also realize not everything, like you're saying, is perfect, and that we need to understand that and look at how we did things in the past.
I'm a big fan of history. I mean, history tells us what we need to do. You know, so look at the history and see things that worked, see things that didn't work, take the thing, realize why we did what we did worked and what went wrong with things that didn't work, and then move forward positively.
Well, and see, that's like there's you know, a certain number of people that would say that most of history has been written by stupid people. Right. And that a lot of the history that we teach each other is just based on people being stupid. and now we look back at that and we go, yes, back in the day, people used to sacrifice each other. People used to, right. And now we don't do that anymore. Cause they were kind of stupid back then. Right. And you know, there's a lot of that stuff that, you know, but I mean, those are days that people still look back with nostalgia to, you know, and they'll pick certain bits and pieces of that to, you know, hold up as this rosy, this was the way it was back then without seeing the other bits going on.
Yeah. Remember that time way back when those group of people elected that guy to run the country and he kept blaming the whole group of people for the cause of everyone's problems? And then he went on and developed the Third Reich.
But you remember
that
back
went well,
in like the like in the 90s when, you know, the mere picture of a guy sitting on a, you know, a woman of ill repute, right? If someone was sitting, that would torpedo their whole career.
Yeah.
Back when, you know, morals and blah blah blah, right? Back when you couldn't, you know, back when a blowjob almost took down or basically took down a president, right?
Yeah.
And now you've got a guy that
grabs him by the pussy,
man. Has talked about, you know, how his supporters could shoot, he could shoot someone in the street, right? And has openly...
Strange times we live in, my friend.
You know, and I mean, hey, like, I'm all for the nostalgia of, you know...
I'm nostalgic
let's go
for
back to the days
George
when,
W.
when
Bush.
Any of that... that's the worst part. That's been something that's actually been coming up lately is how, you know...
Remember
you look
how everything
back
was better when he was president?
Yeah, and now George W. Bush is nostalgia. And people look back and go, oh boy, he was actually... I mean, he was a little quirky. He had his thing. But
I like that meme when he was at with the last presidential thing they did down in Texas and he's smiling and the meme was like, when you're finally not the worst living president.
Lowest approval rating of any ever.
But he's got a base. It's not going anywhere, man. He could literally take a dump on someone's face and they'd be like, yeah, but he did it like nobody else would do it.
And I can't even, like, and that's, you know, like, that's actually one of the other bits in here. It's almost not related, but motivated reasoning, right? I have an article, and we might post that in here, but just about how hard it is to change those beliefs, right? Because, you know, and especially, like, as you're smarter, it's easier to kind of reason these things into, right? And especially, like, if you're really motivated to believe something, you'll find ways of justifying it, right?
Sure.
And so it's the same thing with nostalgia, right? Like, if you're really motivated to believe that the past was better than today, right? And if, say, you have a political platform based on that, say, make America great again, right? You have a vested interest in motivating that reasoning,
yeah,
right? And making sure that no matter what anybody says about your belief, you know, you can still justify it to yourself and still be able to, you know, carry on despite all evidence of the contrary, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of where I feel what we're up against in a lot of ways with this is that, you know, like when we were talking about the brain scans of religious, of like religious fanatics and how their neural pathways are very deep set,
mm-hmm.
right? And so once you go over a thought a million times, like a mantra, it's harder to change that without, you know, having to actually have a, you know, actual like self-assessment core, you know, belief, you know, test.
Yeah.
So, you know, and again, like the more you motivate, the more you're, you know, motivated to reason, to keep that belief, the harder it is to change your mind. So, you know, I think it's more just, we need to be able to, you know, start teaching people how to think versus what to think.
Yeah. Goes back to schools, man, but we can't do that because we always teach people how to pass tests, not how to think. And that's how our parents are raised. Know, that's how we're raised. And that's how our kids are going to be raised. God
again,
damn it.
Again, seems like a nostalgia thing because that's still like, that's the system that was set up in like the 1800s or something.
But it's worked. And it's just going to keep on working.
But it hasn't worked. I mean,
progress is
that's,
a bitch.
That's actually, we're going to have, that'll be one of our other podcasts, is just learning and education in
love
general
it.
And blah, blah, blah. Right? How we learn, what kind of, what we've learned about how the brain learns and why it went. If it learns.
Love it, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that was most of what we, like I said, it was kind of more of a, you know, wanting to go back and talk about the old days. And
yeah. Remember, let's talk about the old days. Remember you and I think we talked about this in the ghost episode because the ghost episode was one that we had done 3 times.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember. Yeah. And you're
yeah. The nostalgia of where we were. And
remember us, we had one microphone.
Yeah.
You and I just huddling over it.
One headset that we shared.
Yeah, for sure.
I had the left, you had the right.
Mm-hmm. That was a great time.
Yeah, yeah.
Z was in there in the first one.
Yeah,
got actually. Into for a bit. You mm-hmm. know.
Yeah, our previous recording engineer.
Hmm. Hmm.
I'm nostalgic for the days when, and I can remember fondly when I didn't have to spend 5 hours of my life editing this thing every week.
Back when I used to have a life outside of the Learn Me Something podcast.
We're getting
and
better.
And slave driving. he doesn't even know what I've got planned
I've
for
aged,
him.
I've aged
he has
quickly.
No idea the 50 different podcasts that I'm going to have him editing at one point over the next 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a good thing this is an audio-only podcast because my face now looks like an old catcher's mitt.
He's younger than us. But he looks like he's 80. It's amazing.
Looks, you know, like
he's
been having this. Rupert Murdoch.
Although I have noticed the whites have been showing up in the beard a little more lately. I don't know if it's just from.
See, I dye. I'm like grayer than motherfucker.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, you should see me without dye. I'm like, you'd think I would like 60.
Well, see, again, we may do the next episode on narcissism just so we can.
I love that one. That sounds great. Can it all be about me?
Well, of course it was going to be all about you. I mean, who else was it going to be about, you know?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Love it. Look forward to it.
Indeed. Well, you know, and again, I look forward to any ideas you may have on subjects that you would like to learn something about, as I feel that there's something that all of us can learn something about, as, you know, most of us tend to be pretty stupid.
Yeah, definitely. Reach out to us, guys, on Facebook there.
And for those listening that are not on social media, If you prefer to send us feedback the old-fashioned way, you should send us an email. You can hit us up at hologramradio.org/contact. Use the drop-down menu and select LMS Podcast.
They can send emails to specific...
Yeah, there's a drop-down list with all the podcast email addresses.
Awesome. Well, there you go. See, I learned something new today. I didn't
we
even...
learned something.
I knew that we had an email, but I did not know that you could actually email.
Well, you don't come here to unlearn things.
Well, kind of, actually. That is actually portion of the whole idea behind this podcast is a lot of the stuff that we have learned from our past. And again, that we look back with nostalgia at, you know, is entirely wrong and needs to be addressed and needs to be looked at and held up to the critical eye.
Remember those days when there was no war, no poverty? Oh, wait, that never happened.
Yeah. Back in the 50s when everything was perfect.
And I keep going back to, like, what would be the worst case scenario?
I don't even want to think.
Like, if we just all at once just went, let's just fucking stop killing each other. Yeah. Like, what would be the worst case scenario?
Oh, what would be in that case?
If we all just... stop doing this shit, right? Like the whole climate change thing. What would be the worst case scenario if we actually, you know, started making steps toward, you know, like even if it was all a complete fake, even if it's all, what's the worst?
We'll make a better world, Aaron.
But how dare we think that we can make things better?
I'm waiting for us to realize Gene Roddenberry's utopian future of humanity. No currency.
Yeah.
We don't work. Great. We only work to improve ourselves.
Like why?
It can happen. It could happen.
I don't understand why everybody doesn't go like what?
I'm all in.
You know what? We're too greedy. We're too freaking greedy and selfish. Mm. And there's too much. There's too much that's part of the lizard brain. Effectively, I think unless we can biohack our brains, which is probably likely at some point with CRISPR.
They're actually, well, no, not with CRISPR, but they've actually, now with the magnetic resonance, where they can actually target parts of the brain.
Yeah.
We can actually use
it
that.
It may be possible someday to get rid of our worst aspects of our personality.
In coordination with therapy. And that's where, like, again, like, I think we need to just start readdressing what we consider to be mental issues, right? Like, yeah. I really consider greed to be a mental issue. Right? The inability to be able to recognize when you've got the fuck enough is a real problem.
It is fascinating when you actually think about it, that's literally
the problem where you know, you look at this thing of just rampant just accumulation of shit.
Have you ever heard,
what do you need any of it for?
Have you ever heard anyone address death as a disease? How would that change our perspective too?
Death is a disease.
As far as like trying to actually cure it, to cure death, to look at it as a disease
that's crazy.
Needs to be cured.
That would change the perspective because you live, you die. I mean, everyone
changes,
has that.
Well, it changes the perspective for a lot of things, like what you were saying too. Mm. If we look at greed, is that a disease?
Well, again, like I feel that there's no other real classification for it.
I think it's a fail. I think it's definitely a weakness, a failure of the way we're engineered for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think not realizing that you've had enough. Yeah, yeah. I mean, gluttony is for sure. You know, people that
why
pour,
do some
hoard.
Of us have poor judgment?
Yeah,
well, over we all and have, over we and over. We all have poor judgment
to
that's
a degree,
whole,
but
that's exactly
but
right.
To, like, you know, for the, I'm talking about the worst offenders that make the same dumbass mistakes over.
See, and again,
over
I look at it
over.
as you know, we don't have a society that holds each other up and goes, "Are you sure you really want to do that?" Right? Like we've built this society of us people, like me people. Right, where I know everything, and if I don't know it, well, goddamn it, all right, like it's not worth knowing, right? And instead of having a society of people that you know has a community around them that we can talk to about things and say, hey, so I've had this thing going on, right? I had this thought in my head that you know, black people have different organs inside of them. Does that make any sense to anyone?
That makes total sense to me,
like,
Aaron.
You know,
I always thought
so. Just, you know, I just wanted to. Throw that out there and just see if anybody. No. Okay, that's okay. All right. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
That's education.
You know, I can't remember the name of the comedian that I was just listening to an interview with him talk about flat earthers and ridiculous it is.
Jesus.
And he said something that blew my mind, and I can't believe like nobody else has said this or thought of this. That you would think like. If it were true, let's just pretend the Earth really was flat.
Yeah.
You would think that would be like the most insanely popular destination that everyone in the world would want to go see.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
just to me, like right there shuts that argument down.
Anyway, so as we found out today, you can email us at hologramradio.org. There's a pull down list where you can send an email directly to us. So you could directly influence and sway this whole podcast with one simple little email. You can also find us on Facebook. Like us, we love that. You can find us on Twitter at LMS Podcast. We're on Patreon. Please donate. We love it. We're looking forward to the barrels of money we're going to receive. You can find us on the Hologram Radio Network, along with a group of other amazing podcasts that you can come listen to.
If you're feeling generous, please do donate to help support the show. What we do here, go to patreon.com/hologramradio. There is no minimum donation amount, just so everyone knows. So anything that you can donate, doesn't matter how small, it really does make a difference.
Thank you very much for listening, everyone. As always, Florian Dendrite, may your brain cells flourish.
You've been listening to Learn Me Something with Aaron Stewart and Rich Plum on Hologram Radio. If you like the podcast, please rate and subscribe in iTunes and share it with a friend. To find other interesting podcasts like this one, please visit our website at hologramradio.org.